I was going to ask you to turn to Micah, and I've got my Bible open, but I'm going to have to change that, I believe. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. The Lord, just a thought is all I've got, just a thought. It wasn't what I was planning to preach this morning. I was wanting to preach out of Micah 5:2. It was a verse that I quoted in one of my parts in the Christmas play. That's probably the only part I didn't mess up was that verse, but anyway, I want to give you this just to think about, something to go home with. And if you're here lost, I want you to think about it. Matthew chapter number 1. Of course, Matthew ends the 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew. And I think it's amazing that Malachi 4, the last verse of the book, the last verse of the entire Old Testament, and the last word of the Old Testament is the word curse. And then you come to chapter number 1 of Matthew, and you discover who came to be a curse for us, who came to save us, okay? Look in chapter number 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I think that's well stated. I think that is something that you and I could pay attention to, is that when Joseph got to thinking, he didn't act rash. He started to act hastily. He started to make quick decisions. And you can see throughout the scripture where people that acted in haste, usually that first impulse, that first quick decision was wrong. Amen. But here Joseph got to thinking. While he thought on this, what was going on in his life, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled. The word fulfilled, or words like that, are the key words in the book of Matthew. Matthew's the first of the Gospels in our New Testament, and it's showing us that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. All those prophecies, all those predictions, specifics that was given from Genesis 3:15, where the first prophecy of the virgin birth, talking about the seed of the woman, would bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman. That it was indicative of the virgin birth that was to come. Amen. And so we find here that the Bible said, and all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall, if your Bible says, in place of virgin there, it uses the word young woman, throw it in the trash. The NIV calls her a young woman, and you don't have to be too bright to know there's a big difference of being a young woman and being a virgin. That didn't cost you no extra right there. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. I got that word did underscored with two green lines because that's a big word. He didn't just know and hear, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him, but the Bible said he arose and did. Amen. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she was brought forth. She brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, this is just simple thought that I wasn't planning to preach on. Just it's been on my mind some this week. There are, in verse number 21, there's really two births that are referenced. One clearly and directly, and the other is indirectly. The first one is, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. She shall bring forth. That's birthing terminology. She is to birth a baby into this world, and his name would be Jesus. But the other birth that is referred to here, it is not called a birth, but the term is referencing it, where it said, for he shall save. We know, according to John chapter number 3, being saved is called a new birth, or to be born again, or to be born from above, to be born of the Spirit of God. And it's just a simple thought. If you're here lost, I want you to listen. How did Jesus get here? Now, there's two spheres represented. You got eternity, and then you got earth. How is it that a person from eternity, Jesus Christ, how could he come here? Now, we know in the Old Testament, he came here at times just as a Christophany, as it's called, where he would appear to be the angel of the Lord. But he would only come, speak a word, come for a specific purpose, and then he was gone. And then he would return again at another time, another person, another place, for a specific temporary purpose, and then he was gone. But what we're reading about in Matthew 1 is not a visit. He did not come here to visit. He didn't come here for a temporary purpose. When Jesus was born, listen, the incarnation, that's the Bible terminology for him, God becoming a man. God became incarnate in flesh. And I want to tell you, listen, that will never change. Before Bethlehem, Jesus never had a body other than just that temporary that he would visit and deal in the Old Testament, and then he was gone. But when Jesus became a man, there will never, ever, ever be a moment in eternity future that Jesus Christ will not be in bodily form, that he will not be in the very body that he came into this world with. The point that God spoke to my heart was the only way for eternity to come into this world was through a supernatural birth. The only way that Jesus Christ could come into this world and be the qualified Savior, be the qualified sacrifice, be the qualified priest, be the qualified, amen, Godhead in person, in bodily form. The only way he could do that was through a supernatural birth. I've heard people say that there's no indications anywhere in the Scripture that God wanted us to give any attention to the birth of Christ. That's foolishness. I know that, Brother Craig, his birth is not what saved me, but he could not have saved me apart from that birth. Because had not he been virgin born, had he been the son of Joseph or a Roman soldier, as a bunch of liberal people would say, had he had human blood in him, he would have been a sinner just like you was and just like Mary his mother was. Amen. But he came here and he bypassed the curse by bypassing Joseph's bloodline. Amen. Amen. Jeconiah in the book of Jeremiah, because of his sin, God said, none of your seed will ever sit on the throne. And had he come through Joseph's lineage, he would have been part of that seed line, of that cursed seed line, and he'd been disqualified. But God bypassed that curse with the virgin birth. Amen. God basically said to Joseph, I'll let you feed the boy, but I won't let you father the boy. Amen. But Jesus came into our world. He came into our world the only way that he could, and that was through a supernatural birth. How is it that we here on earth How are we going to get into eternity? Or let me use it this way. Jesus came into our world with a supernatural birth. The only way that you and I can go into His world is through a supernatural birth. And John chapter 3 talks about that supernatural birth. That's the only way. That's the only way that you can go to heaven. That's so elementary to us because we've heard it since we were born into this world. We've heard it. But the truth is still not received by a lot of people that thinks maybe, you know, the good's going to outweigh the bad. And, you know, maybe the Lord will show mercy on me. And the Lord cannot show mercy on you, me, or anybody apart from the death of Christ. Do you know apart from the death of Christ, there God cannot forgive sin? Do you know that? Amen. God cannot just say, okay, Brother Craddock, you were this and that before you got saved. I'm just going to forgive you. No, somebody's got to pay the debt. Somebody's got to pay the sin debt. Amen. If I were to give Brother Frankie $5, and I'm not because I don't have it, but let's just use that. If I were to give Brother Frankie $5, he's in debt to me. For $5, he's in debt to me. But if I say to Brother Frankie, I forgive you for that, for not paying the debt. I forgive you for that, not paying that $5. Well, he gets off the hook. But I had to eat it. I still have to eat the $5. Amen. All of us are guilty, but God was willing to pay the sin debt. God was willing to pay the sin debt, and he did, thankfully. But he came here through a supernatural birth. Amen. Oh, yes. And he came. There's three titles in the Bible that you need to understand are crucial as applied to Jesus. He's called the Son of God because that attaches him to God. That he has a connection, an inseparable connection to God. He's called the Son of Man. That's what he became when he was born of a human being, born into this world, become a son of man, which links him to us, links him to Adam's race, links him to, humanity. But there's a third title that's applied to Jesus that is also crucial, and that is he's called the Son of David. The Son of God, the Son of Man, and also the Son of David. That links him to Israel. That links him to David. That links him to the Davidic covenant that still has not been fulfilled as yet, but will. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But he came here. Listen, I'm right now done. Listen, he came here. There's a lot of things we could say about it. Salvation in the Old Testament, the way we know it, could have never been. Listen, because in the Old Testament, it was blood atonement. They had sacrifices that did not redeem man, only atoned for man, which means to roll over. The word atone means to roll over. In other words, sin was just rolled over to the next year when another sacrifice would have to die. And then it would be rolled over again to the next year. But when you come into the New Testament, Jesus Christ is called what? The Lamb of God. But he didn't come here as the Lamb of God to atone. He came here to redeem. And there's a big eternal difference. If he came here to atone, Brother Craig, there would have to be another lamb, another sacrifice. But John said in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." God cannot let flesh and blood enter the kingdom. And that's all you've got to offer. That's what your first birth gave you. Human nature, flesh and blood. But God said that flesh and blood will never enter. Are you listening? So me getting to go to heaven, somebody else is going to have to do a major work in my behalf. And God said, I can take care of that. And he did through Jesus. But Jesus came here through a supernatural birth into my world, into our world. And this is so simple, but eternity weighs on it. I want everybody to listen. If you ever expect to go into his world, if you're ever expecting to go into the kingdom of God, if you're ever expecting to go to heaven, It's going to require a supernatural birth. It did so for the Lord to get here into my world, and it will also require a supernatural birth of the Spirit of God. The same Holy Ghost, that's good, same Holy Ghost that birthed Jesus, that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That whole birth of Christ was of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're told, amen, in John chapter number 3, you must be born again. Of course, Nicodemus was thinking of a natural mind. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, no. That's not right. That's not the right way to look at it. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Same Holy Spirit. Boy, I remember that. I remember that. I don't believe there is such a thing as a salvation apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen. This easy believism, this little mechanical repeat a prayer and sign a card and amen, do you give a mental assent to some Bible facts? And there's no Spirit of God. You can't get saved unless the Spirit of God is drawing you and convicting you and dealing with you. You don't wake up one morning and say, well, I think I'm just going to decide to get saved today. It don't work that way. Amen. Jesus came here through a supernatural birth performed by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And you getting to heaven, you leaving earth and going into Jesus' world is also through a supernatural birth by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to heaven because of works, because that's attached to flesh and blood. I'm not going to works by being going to heaven by being a good person, because that's flesh and blood produced stuff. Amen. It's not what I can do, because everything I can do is attached to flesh and blood. And God said, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. So my payment came here through a supernatural birth. And me going to heaven is also going to be through a supernatural birth. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm glad the Spirit of God that birthed me is still in me. The nature, the Spirit, listen, the divine nature of God that was in Christ and still is in Christ is in me. We become partakers of His divine nature. You young people, we've got kids in here that are not saved. We got people here, about every service we have people that's not saved here. And some have heard me preach probably a few hundred times already, and you're still not saved. You've been exposed to some, awesome services that we've had across the since you've been in this world, and you're still not saved. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? There ain't nothing, listen, there ain't nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong at all. You as a lost person asking Jesus to deal with you. The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. There's nothing wrong with you seeking the Lord. Showing God some interest. Why don't you tell him, say, God, I want to be saved. I'm interested in being saved. I don't want to die lost without God. I don't want to go to a devil's hell. Jesus Christ came here to save his people from their sin. I want to be saved. There's nothing wrong with you as a lost person saying those things and praying those things and spend time seeking God's face. There's nothing wrong with that. But I can say this most definitely. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm in church a lot, all over, everywhere. I'm in church a lot through the course of a year's time. And I'm in here a lot. And I'm convinced that there is a host of people that are on church pews. They've got a profession. They've got their name on a roll. They've got this or that. But where's the Holy Ghost at in their life? Where is the Spirit of God at? The one that birthed Jesus? The Bible, Jesus was filled with him. The Bible said Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God didn't just birth him. The Spirit of God come on him at his baptism. The Spirit of God moved in his life, and he was led, we find in Matthew 3, was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit of God was active in Jesus' life. A lot of people claim to be saved. I was in a church not long ago, and that's about the details I'll give on it, but I was in a church not long ago. I thought, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. How many people's probably sitting here that don't have a clue about what it is, really is, to be saved? I'd hate to go to hell from anywhere, but I'd sure hate to slide off of an RBT pew in a place called hell. God's not going to force himself on you. Jesus already come here to save you. He paid the sin debt. You don't have to raise a lamb, or you don't have to raise a calf. You don't have to raise any kind of a sacrifice. Jesus is that sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice. You just listen, you need to make sure that what you've got is real and scriptural. I can't tell you you're saved. I can't tell you you're not saved. I don't have that authority, and I'm not the one that's going to be the making the call on that anyway. Amen. But I do know that this Bible is not silent about it. This Bible is very clear about the evidences of being saved. What is the fruit of being saved? When Jesus was born supernaturally into this world, Brother Henry, it was very evident that he had a supernatural life. He was God, but he was also man. He was God manifest in the flesh. Everywhere he went through his earthly ministry, it was evident. Even Nicodemus said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these." How's it? Wait a minute, let's see. How's that go? John 3. Let me get it here, man. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." I got it. Took me a few minutes to get it to crawl over the wall. It was evident. His birth was evidenced through his life. Amen. And what his birth started will never end. That body that he was given, that'll never end. When he come out of the grave, same body. Amen. God promised to redeem my body. Can we get a witness right there? Hallelujah. The older I get, the more it's starting to ache and not cooperate and fall apart and hurt and all those kinds of things. But that there's a day coming when God's going to redeem my body. Amen. Hey, man. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But if you're here today and you're not saved, or if you're listening, you're not saved. There's no way for you to get to heaven through any flesh and blood promoted or produced actions. And that's your human life, flesh and blood. Can't enter. The only way you can get to heaven is a supernatural new birth. Has that happened to you? Can you go back in your life and see where the Spirit of God done a work in you and called you and spoke to you and convicted you and drew you to himself? Don't settle for nothing less. Don't settle for nothing less. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, you take just the few thoughts that we shared this morning and wasn't planning to do that, wasn't planning at all. Lord, you know what's needed. And we pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, you didn't come here without going through a supernatural womb and a supernatural birth. But dear Lord, I know that I'll never be able to go to be with you. I'll never be able to step out of the earthly sphere into an eternal sphere, dear Lord, without that supernatural birth. And Lord, I want to thank you that eternity has already begun with me. My eternal life has been in my life already for soon to be 39 years. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, have your way this morning. Speak to hearts. Deal with hearts about those that are not saved. Lord, that they will get urgent about it. They will get serious about it. You're serious about it for sure, Lord. I pray they'll get serious about it. You're wanting to save them a lot stronger, with a lot stronger desire than they do have to get saved. I pray your will to be done, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.